Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Lamed. We begin at the very, very top line, Lamed Omed Aleph, with the new Mishnah. Now, there actually are four Mishnayos on this page, and there is a very important handout that I am attaching to today's Daf. When you go to the website and pull up the audio, just look to see. Also, there's a place there where it says handouts, a PDF, and you'll see two handouts, Daf Lamed Omed Aleph and Daf Lamed Omed Beis. It's in one handout, but it's two separate sheets, and they'll be critical to understanding today's Shia. I will also suggest that since I actually made these handouts many years ago, I use different terminology than is in the art school. I consistently use our terminology that Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, and that Reuven usually is the one that dies in these situations. So please, if you're going to follow along with my Shia and my handouts, ignore the art school because you're going to get very confused if you do. We switch around Reuven and Shimon. In any event, let us begin the very top. It is a complicated shiur today. Don't get worried, however. We're going to do it on a relatively superficial basis and hopefully get through, certainly understanding the Gemara Rashi and the basic ideas that are being expressed on this wonderful top. So we begin, again, Lamed Omud Aleph at the very top with the first Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Ochim, Shnaim Hem Nesuyos, Shtei Achuyos, Ve'echod Nosi Nochris. We have our basic example today. All four of the Mishnayos have the same example, and you can see this on my handout. We have three brothers and two sisters. We have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the three brothers. Reuven and Shimon are respectively married to the two sisters. Reuven is married to Rachel, and Shimon is married to Leah. And you can see this in the top boxes. That's Mishnah Aleph. And I label what happens. There are four events that happen here. You'll see the way I've structured this is that I'll call event number one, event number two, event number three, number four, and that tells you what's going on in the order. So again, we start off with the three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to the two sisters, Reuven to Rachel, and Shimon to Leah. And then what happens? Meis echod mibale achoyos. Reuven dies. One of the sisters' husbands, I'll have that as Reuven. In the article, they have that as Shimon, so don't get confused. I'm going to be consistent. Reuven always is the one that passes away. So Reuven dies. That's step one. The kines nosi nochris es ishto. And Levi, the one who was married to the Nochris, we're calling her Nochris, I didn't give her a name, we'll call her Nochris. That's her name. Again, Nochris does not mean a goita. Nochris means a unrelated Jewish girl. So Levi now has two wives. He has his own wife called Nochris, and then he takes in Yibum, that's step two, he takes Rachel and Yibum. So at this point in time, Shimon is still married just to Leah, and Levi is married to the girl known as Nochris, and through Yibum, Rachel. Now, Umeis, then go to step three, go down to the right box in the first row, Mishnah Aleph, and you see that Levi dies. Umeis, Levi now dies. So now the two wives of Levi, the original wife known as Nochris and his Yibum wife known as Rachel, go and fall to Shimon. So Harishona, that's here referring, Rashi says at the very top, Rashi, Linefila, the first one that fell in Yibum, meaning Rachel, that's called here the Rishona. So she is Yotza Mishum Achos Isha. She is the sister of Leah. So obviously there's no Yibum Shimon with her. And likewise, her co-wife, the Tzara, known as the Nochris here, so she also goes free, Ushnia Mishum Tzarasa. The second wife, the Nochris, the Tzara, goes free because she's Tzaras Achos Ishto of Shimon. So in this situation where Yibum took place, so then both of them are full-fledged 100% wives of Levi, then when Levi dies, neither one falls in Yibum to Shimon. Rachel doesn't fall because she's the actual Achos Ishto of Shimon. She's Leah's sister, and the Nachris is the Tzara of Achos Ishto, so neither of them fall. So when step four occurs, neither one falls in Yibum, and Chalitza is not needed as well. Very simple, very straightforward. No chidushim here. This is exactly what we all would have expected. Now, here's where we start making it a little bit more interesting. The Mishnah says, what happens, going back to the first box, instead of step two being Yibum, step two was only Maimar. Also born Maimar. So step two now is just Maimar. So Rachel is not a full-fledged wife of Levi. According to Beis Shammai, she would in fact be a full-fledged wife of Levi at this point from yesterday's Shia. But according to Beis Hillel, then in this situation, she's only rabbinically married to Levi. It's only Maimer. And therefore, she is not a full-fledged wife of Levi yet at this point. And then when step three occurs, Umes, and Levi dies, so now you have a situation where you have the Nachris falls in 100% Yibam to Shimon. And therefore, if there was no Rachel in the picture, so then she could undergo Yibam or Chalitza. But now because there's this Maimer relationship that is somewhat attaching Rachel to the Nachris, so the Nachris might be a co-wife of Achos Ishto, and therefore would not be allowed to have Yibam. But at the same time, she's not a full co-wife, and therefore she can't go free without anything. So therefore, the Nachris would require Chalitza. Rachel, of course, still requires nothing. She still is Achos Ishto. That is clear. So Rachel requires nothing. But in this situation, when Levi dies, the Mishnah tells us, Nachris choletzes v'lo misyabem. So she requires Chalitza in this situation and cannot undergo Yibam. Again, no real surprises over here. The Gemara starts off and says, Taima, the reasoning over here that we said that the Nachris requires Chalitza, but not Yibam, is because the Abad Bar Maimer, because Maimer was done, and that did establish some sort of a relationship between Rachel, the Nachris, and Levi. However, Halo Abad Bar Maimer, if step two had never occurred, so therefore, you just now have Reuven's widow, Rachel, waiting to have Yibam, Maimer, or Chalitza, done with her by Shimon and Levi, and of course she can't have it with Shimon, so she's really falling just to Levi. So she's just Zikuka Liyavam. So we have here a Zika to one brother, because even though it's a Zika to two brothers, Shimon never gets into the play because it's Achos Ishto. So this is a situation now where Rachel falls Zakuk Liyavam Echad. And according to this, Halo Avad Ba Maimer, Nachris Yevume Nami Miyabma. The implication of a Mishnah would be that Yibam would have to be done to the Nachris in this situation, because only in a situation of Yibam or Maimer do we say that she does not need to have Chalitza or Yibam. But if neither was done, then the implication of the Mishnah would be that in fact the Nachris would be Yevume Nami Miyabma. She could even undergo Yibam. So what do you see from here? Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, clearly you see, Zoso Meres, that Ein Zika V'afilu B'chad Ocha. Even though there's only a Zekuka Liyavim relationship between Rachel and Levi, it's only one Yavim, Rav Nachman says, clearly the author of our Mishnah does not hold that there is Zika. And you can see this all the way at the bottom of the sheet here where I wrote, Rav Nachman holds Ein Zika Afilu V'chad, that clearly Rav Nachman's understanding of our Mishnah, based upon these implications that we just said, is that there is no Zika that establishes any sort of a relationship between Rachel and Levi that would impact the Nachris, Levi's wife, and therefore, in this situation where Yibam and Chalitza were not done, so then the Nachris could even undergo Yibam with Shimon when her husband Levi dies. I hope that's clear. That's Mishnah Aleph. Not that difficult. Mishnah Beis. Same exact scenario. Shlosho Achim, Shnaim Him, Nesuim Shtei Achoyos Ve'echod, Nosui Nochris. Again, we have the same exact relationship. Mishnah Beis starts off the same. Reuven's married to Rachel, Shimon's married to Leah, Rachel and Leah's sisters, and Levi's married to an unrelated Yiddish girl whose name we'll call Nochris. Now what happens? The next step is Meis HaNosui Nochris. Here in Mishnah Beis, you can see this on the second row, in the left side, you have step one is that Levi passes away. The Nosui Nochris passes away. So his wife Nochris falls in Yibam, and she falls to Shteachim. She falls to both Reuven and Shimon. Neither one is related to her in any way. Rachel and Leah are unrelated to the Nochris. So Nochris falls in Yibam to both Reuven and Shimon. The Kines Echad Mibala Yachoyos Es Ishto. So the rule that we've learned previously is that the older brother goes and does Yibam, and that's what happens over here. Reuven goes and does Yibam on the Nachris, and now Reuven, in addition to being married to his original wife, Rachel, is now married. Step two is Yibam at this point in the Mishnah, and he's now married to both Rachel and the Nachris. Now, Umeis, in this situation, step three is now that Reuven passes away. And you can see this on the right side boxes in the second row, Mishnah Beis row. So now step three is that Reuven passes away. So now Reuven's two wives, his original wife Rachel and the Nachris wife, fall in Yibam to Shimon. But obviously that can't occur because Rachel is the sister of Leah, and therefore, when Rachel can't fall in Yibam, so likewise her Tzara, the fully married Nachris, married to Reuven via Yibam, now a full wife, also goes off. So Rachel can't have Yibam because of Achos Ishto to Shimon, and the Nachris is Tzaras Achos Ishto, and therefore Harishona. Here, the Rishona terminology, Rashi tells us, is Lenisuin, the first one that was married to Reuven. Before we had it was the first one that fell in Yibam. Tosus switches around the gears. Says, the bottom line is, we know who we're talking about. This Rishona, we're going to call Rachel, is Yotzais. She goes out without Yibam or Chalitza, Mishum Achos Isha, because she is the sister of Shimon's wife, Leah. And Vishnia, here that's referring to the Nachris, she goes out without Yibam or Chalitza, Mishum Tzaros. She's Tzaros, Achos Ishto. So that's very clear and simple. No problem. Now we revisit step number two, and instead of step number two in Mishnah Beis being Yibum, we say also Bo Maimer, that when Levi passed away, the Nachris only had Maimer with Reuven. She didn't undergo full-fledged Yibum, and we'll have the same issue that we had in Mishnah Aleph. In this situation, when step three occurs and Reuven dies, there's a question as to whether the Nachris is in fact the Tzara of Rachel or is not. In some ways, she is the Tzara of Rachel, and therefore, she won't be able to go and have Yibam. But in other ways, she's not the Tzara of Rachel, and therefore, she could have to go and undergo Yibam before she's with Teres Lashuk. So therefore, we say, in this situation, undergo Chalitza. In this situation, when Reuven passes away, and he had only done Maimer to the Nachris, so then the Nachris choletzes below Misya Bemis. So then we say that she requires Chalitza, the Nachris, but can't have Yibam. Of course, Rachel has neither. Rachel is always going to be Achos Ishto of Shimon. She's Rachel and Leah sisters, and therefore in this situation, Rachel certainly never needs anything. The only question is on the Nachris. If the Nachris is a full-fledged wife, i.e. there was Yibam, so then she goes free without Yibam or Chalitza because she's Tzaras Achos Ishto. But if in fact there is only a semi-relationship there because of Maimer, so she can't undergo Yibam because maybe she is really Tzaras Achos Ishto. But she can't go scot-free because maybe she's not, and it's nothing. And then she would require Yibam or Chalitza before she can be Muteres Lashuk. So therefore, in this situation, we do Choletzes v'lo Misya Bemis. Again, not that difficult. Now we go to the Gemara of Mishnah Beis. Gemara says, what chiddush did you tell me over here in Mishnah Beis that we didn't know from Mishnah Aleph? Hasu lomali. Hainuach. Isn't it the same exact thing? You taught me very similar idea. And in fact, you learn one from the other, and it's not necessary to tell me both of them. Hashta, if you already taught me in Mishnah 1, Umah Hasam, in Mishnah 1, the case is a bigger chiddush than Mishnah 2. In Mishnah 1, what did you have? The Achos Isha have Yatzara Lenochris. In Mishnah 1, go back to the top row and look in the right side box, and you'll see that we had said, if Yibam only took place, if step 2 was only Yibam, so then when the Nachris, who is definitely married to Levi, so she definitely fell in Yibam to Reuven, and it's only a question, was the sister, Rachel, also married or not? And nevertheless, in that situation, when it was Mahosam, the Achos Isha, have a Tzara Lenochris. In that situation, the Achos Isha, she was the one that was the questionable Tzara to the Nochris. Nevertheless, Amris, we said, Nochris Asura, we said in that situation, the Nochris is Asura. So even when it was Rachel who was the Maimer question, the sister was the Maimer question, so we said that no, the Nochris is going to undergo Chalitza, Choletzis, Lomis Yabemis. So certainly in Mishnah Beis, Hacha, the Nochris have Tzara Liachos Isha. Here, the Nochris is the one that is questionable. So certainly, Lo Kol Shekein, in that situation, certainly she should require Chalitza, Choletzis, Lomis Yabemis. Why is that? Because if the Erva herself was the suffix situation, she was the one with Maimer, and in that situation, she's able to go and not allow the Nachris to have Yibam, but requires Chalitza. So certainly in the case where it was the Nachris that was the suffix situation, Allah has Kama Vakama. So once you tell me Mishnah 1, Mishnah 2 is not a Chiddush at all. So why bother telling me Mishnah 2? There's no Chiddush at all. So Gemara says an amazing idea. Gemara says, Tono hach, tono bereisha. In fact, Mishnah Beis was taught first. because he in fact said that only in that situation, he originally thought the Tana of our Mishnayis, only thought that Mishnah Beis would be a situation where the Nachris would require Chalitza, Chaletzis, V'lo Misya Bemis. He actually thought that in case one, when it was that the Nachris was a Safek, that she would actually be able to undergo Yibam. V'hach Chosvil Hetera V'sharia, and she could undergo Yibam. But then he changed his mind. Then he said that case one also would require choletzis lo misya bemis for the reasons that we mentioned, because there's a suffix there. But I did the chaviva lay, and since this was so dear to him, the Tana said, wow, this was a big chiddush, so he listed this one first, Akhtamo. He put Mishnah Aleph ahead of Mishnah Beis. Now, Mishnah Beis is no longer really necessary once you have Mishnah Aleph. Nevertheless, Mishnah lo zazim imakoma. But since he had already said Mishnah Beis, so we leave things as they are. So you're right, Mishnah Beis, according to this logic, was totally unnecessary. But since Mishnah Beis was actually authored first, and only subsequently was he of the opinion that Mishnah Aleph, the same thing would apply. So therefore, he wrote Mishnah Aleph first because it's a bigger chiddush, and therefore, he wrote Mishnah Aleph first, but he couldn't take out Mishnah Beis because of this principle that Mishnah lo zazo mimekoma. We always leave Mishnayos the way they are, even if we subsequently either don't need them, as in our case, or if in fact they're no longer necessary to be taught because we could have learned them out because of our svara, but we leave things the way they are. Fascinating idea. Now we go to Mishnah Gimel. Hope everybody's enjoying and following along with my sheets. Now we go to the third row, Mishnah Gimel. Again, same exact setup. Shlosha Achim Shnai Mehem Nesuah Shtei Achoyos Echad Nosi Nochris. We have our three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to the two sisters. Step number one here is Meis Echad Mibali Achoyos. We always have Reuven dying, so unfortunately Reuven dies here as well. So Reuven dies. Step two, his wife Rachel falls to Yibam. She falls to Yibam to Shimon, of course. No such thing occurs because it's Achos Ishto, so she really only falls to Levi in this situation. V'kines nosi nochris es Ishto. So Levi does Yibam with Rachel, and now step two. Here we're talking about step two is actual Yibam, and Levi is now married to his original wife called Nochris, and through Yibam to Rachel. Now the next step is that we have a new innovation over here. Step three is that Leah, the wife of Shimon, the second brother, she dies. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. The next step is, Umeisa Ishto Shosheni, the second brother, Shimon, his wife Leah dies. That's step three. So Shimon, nothing happens, no Yibam occurs over here, but now Shimon is no longer married to one of the sisters. Nebuch, she passed away. So now step four, the Achakach Meis Nosi Nochris. Now, Levi now passes away. Step four. So now, Shimon is no longer married to Leah. Levi dies after Shimon lost his wife, Leah. So now, Levi's two wives, his original wife, Nochris, and the Yibam wife from Reuven, Rachel, both fall to Shimon. Now here, there's no longer an Achos Ishto relationship. Nebuch Leah died. So therefore, in this situation, you would have thought that maybe Rachel could undergo Yibam with Shimon. After all, after a person's wife passes away, he is allowed to marry his sister. Rachman al-Lasan, if his wife passes away, he can marry the sister. So you would have thought that both Rachel and the Nachris, in fact, fall Yibam to Shimon. But here's the big chiddush of this Mishnah. Even though Leah is no longer alive, and there is no Achos Ishto right now, Hare Zu Asura Olav Olamis, both of them are Asura. The Rachel is because she was once Achos Ishto. We'll have to explain this more in a moment. And the Nachris, because she's a tzara of somebody who is Asur to Shimon, and therefore both of them go free. Asura Olav Olamis, Hol V'Nesra Olav Shoa Achas. The Mishnah explains because Rachel had for one moment been forbidden to Shimon through Yibam. When Reuven had passed away, Rachel had fallen to Shimon and Levi, but at that moment she was Asur to him because of Achos Ishto. So once she was Asur to Shimon by step one occurring, so then even though when step three occurred, she now would theoretically be mutter to Shimon, our Mishnah tells us, Hol V'Nesra Olav Shoa Achas, since for one moment she was also, when she fell, she was Asura to Shimon, so then even if she subsequently becomes mutter to Shimon, i.e. when Leah dies, and then when Levi dies, so then nevertheless she remains Asura to Shimon. If Rachel is Asura to Shimon, so then the Tzara of Rachel, Nochris, is also Asura to Shimon. So this is a big chiddush in Mishnah Gimel. Now, Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yehuda Rav tells us, Kol Yevama, Shein Ani Kore Bo Bishas Nefila, Yevama Yavu Alea, Harehi Ke'esh Yisoch Sheesh Lo Banim V'Yasura. We actually had this in the previous Gemara. We had this on Daf Chav Zayin, not that long ago, where we brought down the Yehuda Rav said this idea that when a Yevama falls, but at that point in time, she is ineligible to go and marry her Yavam, so then even if that subsequently were to change, we still apply the rule of she is ineligible to have Yibam, and we view her, the Lashon that we view over here is that she's called as if she was falling Yibam to an Eshesach, she Eshla Banim, as if her brother-in-law had children. And of course, then there's the Isra of Eshesach, and there is no mitzvah of Yibam, and therefore Vasura. So in this scenario of Mishnah Gimel, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav tells us this idea. And the Gemara says, we just had that in the Mishnah. What is an Amora adding on to what we said in the Mishnah? My Kamashvalon, what is Rav Yehuda Amar Rav adding that it didn't beferish state in the Mishnah? The Mishnah said, Tanina, read the last line of this Mishnah. Hare zu asura alav olam is ho'il v'nesra alav sha'achas. So what is an Amora repeating seemingly exactly what the Mishnah says in his own name and not quoting the Mishnah? We never find an Amora. I'm a rabbi knew all the Mishnayis. So our Mishnah, the Beferish, says that she's Asura all of Olamis. Rachel, even though now could theoretically have married Shimon, because right now there is no Achos Ishto, Leah died. Nevertheless, since she had been Usur at that moment in time, when Reuven died and she fell to Shimon, so if you were Usur Asfilu Shah Achas, Ho Vinesra Lov Shah Achas, you can't go and ever have Yibam with her. So why did Reuven Dar Marav seem to repeat that in their own name? So Gemara says, no, big chiddush. Mal de tema, I might have thought, hani mili hechad lo ichzaya lo binefila rishona, that this then would only be true in our scenario of Mishnah Gimel, where Leah died, as we have it in the diagram, after step two. So there never was a moment that Rachel was eligible to have Yibam with Shimon. Levi did Yibam while Leah was still alive. So, boom. Rachel never fell to Shimon. In this situation, not even for a moment did she fall to Shimon, because Leah was still alive at that point in time. Therefore, that's why we say, Hoel, the Nasrul of Sha'achas. She was totally usher the entire time. However, I might have thought, Abel Hecha, the Chzaya lo b'nefila Rishona. Guess what? If, in fact, step three had occurred before step two, if, in fact, Leah had passed away while Rachel now is not yet taken in Yibam by Levi. So now at this point in time, Rachel does fall to Shimon as well as to Levi. And granted, Levi did Yibam with her, but she wasn't Asura to Shimon at this point in time. Since Leah passed away, one might have thought that Rachel is considered having fallen during the Nefila Rishona, and therefore Emotishtari. And then after Levi does Yibam with Rachel, and then Levi passes away, step four, I might have thought that in fact Shimon would be eligible to do Yibam with Rachel, and certainly the Nachris. So Kamash Balan, that's the Chiddush of Rav Marav, that no matter whether Leah passed away first or Leah passed away after the Yibam, both scenarios, this is considered Ho of Nesra Lov Shua Achas. She was Usur during the Nefila Rishona, and therefore that's the additional statement that Yehuda Marav is adding to the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, we've learned that as well. Where are we going to learn that? On Daf Lamed Beis, 2 days from now, where we have the scenario of Shnei Achim, Nisuyin Shnei Achoyos. Here we don't have a Levi. We just have two brothers. We have Reuven and we have Shimon. So they're married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Reuven's married to Rachel, sister one. Shimon's married to Leah, sister number two. And what happens? Meis Echad Mehem. We have Reuven dying. Reuven passes away. So Rachel now falls Yibam to Shimon. But of course, she can't undergo Yibam with Shimon because it's Achos Ishto. But before anything further happens, Leah passes away. V'achakach Meis Ishto Shosheni. So now Leah passes away. So that Mishnah tells us, no, you're not allowed to have Yibam. Might have thought, well, now could have Yibam. Harezu Asura Olav Olamis. Rachel can never marry Shimon, not through Yibam and not through regular Kedushin. Why? Hov, Nesra Olav Shua Achas. Because at the moment that Reuven passed away, when she fell to Shimon, Shimon was still married to Leah, and therefore Rachel would not be permitted ever to Shimon because she was Asur Alav Shoa Achas. So that then was already taught to us. So what's the Chiddush now? The way that we try to explain Rav Yehuda Marav, what's the Chiddush? It doesn't make a difference in Mishnah Gimel whether Leah passes away before the Yibam or after the Yibam of Rachel to Levi. Doesn't make any difference. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Beis teaches us that. Samura says, no, there still is a Chiddush. Ma'u the Tema, I might have thought on my own, Hossam, in the Mishnah on Lamed Beis, which has just the two brothers, no Levi, Hossam, who, the Idche law, only there would we push her aside, Mehai Beis Alagami, because she was never, ever eligible. The minute that Reuven passed away, in that case, where there's only Reuven and Shimon, boom, end of the discussion. There was no option of a Levi. There was no Levi over there. And that's why, even if Leah would subsequently die, Rachel was Asura when she fell to him, and that's the end of the discussion. But in our case, Mishnah Gimel, where there is a Levi involved, and therefore she's never, the lo idchai lo mihai beisa legamre, she's never totally excluded from the concept of Yibam at all, because there's a Levi. And therefore, if Leah were to die, albeit when Rachel falls, Leah's alive. But before Levi does Yibam, there's Yibam option there. Before Levi does Yibam, then Leah dies. So then, if step three occurs before step two, one might have thought, Ema, Migu, the Chazi, lo, lahai, nasi, nachris, Chazi, nami, lahai. Since Rachel was eligible in Yibam to Levi, so now, when Leah dies, she re-becomes eligible to Shimon as well, because Yibam had never gone away from the picture. So I might have thought that, in fact, in this situation where Leah, step three, dies before step two, the potential for Yibam to Levi and now to Shimon occurs, I would have said that if she undergoes Yibam to Levi, then when step four occurs and Levi dies, and the Nachris, the original wife of Levi, as well as the Yibam wife, Rachel, now fall to Shimon, I would not say that Rachel was Asura to Shimon. I would have said, no, she could in fact fall to Shimon and Yibam. Kamash Balon, that's the Chiddush of Rav Yehuda Marav, to tell us, no, even here, we don't allow Yibam. There's nothing that's required because she was Asura for a moment. Once a person falls, since at the moment that Reuven died, Rachel was also to Shimon. Therefore, end of the discussion, she's always going to be also to Shimon, and that's the Chiddush of Rav Yehuda Amarav. Okay, fourth and final Mishnah on this Amud. Again, same exact scenario. We have, again, row four, Mishnah Dalet, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, the three brothers. Reuven and Shimon are married to the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, and Levi's married to the unrelated Jewish woman called Nachris. Now, here we introduce a new idea. Giresh Echod Mibali Achoyos, again, we'll pick always on Reuven. Reuven divorces his wife, Rachel. That step one is Gerishin. He divorces Rachel. Girish Echo Mibali Achoyos es Ishto. Rachel is now out of the picture. She's no longer Eshes Reuven. And now, step two, Umeis Nasi Nachris. Levi dies, Nebuch, and his wife Nachris falls perfectly well to Yibam, to both Reuven and to Shimon. In this situation, this is a Zika to two people, because neither one had a problem with doing Yibam with the Nachris. It's totally unrelated to any wives that they have, and there's no other Issa Erva between the Nachris and Reuven and Shimon. And now, V'kunso ha-migaresh, Reuven goes and does Yibam. He's the older brother, so he does Yibam with Levi's widow, Nachris. Mazel tov, he's now married to Nachris. That's step three. He did Yibam. And Nebuch then, umeis, but then he dies afterwards, umeizu. So now step four, you go to the right side of row four, and Reuven now passes away. So he only has one wife at this point. Rachel is out of the picture through Gerishin. He's only married through Yibam to the Nachris. That's his full-fledged wife. And now she falls Yibam to the one remaining brother. Remember, Levi's dead. He died in step two. So the Nachris falls in Yibam to Shimon. Ah, this is a perfectly valid Yibam. Zuhi Shamu. This, and Zuhi is a miyut. This and only this case, Zuhi Shamru. This is the case about which we say, the Kulan Shemesu on Iskarshu. This is the very first Mishnah in the entire Masechta on Daf Beis, where we said, this is what we said over there. This case Isha'amru, the Kulan Shemesu and Iskarshu. When any of these 15 women, the Chamesh Esri Noshim, they either die or they're divorced. So then, Tsarosei and Mutaros, they're out of the picture, and therefore there is no longer a Tsaras Erva relationship, whatever the 15 relationships of Erva were, they go by the wayside, and the Tsaros are Mutaros. So here, the Nochris is married to Reuven, who once upon a time had a wife that would have been an Erva, but that relationship is gone. In our case, through Gerushin, but it would be the same thing if Rachel had died, and therefore the Nachris is not considered a Tsaras Erva, and therefore the Nachris is permissible. Zuhi, this is the case, Shama, Vakulun, Shemesu, and Iskarshu. If the Tsara, who is the Erva, dies or is divorced, then the other Tsara, who's not the Erva, is in fact Muteres to have Yibam or Chalitza, if that's what they choose. That's Mishnah Dalit. That's the fourth Mishnah. And the Gemara starts off and seems to imply Taima, the Giresh, the order is critical here, that Rachel was step one. The Gerishim to Rachel took place first. Taima, the Giresh, the Achakachmes, and only afterwards did Levi die. So when the Nachris fell, Reuven was totally able to go do Yibum with her and not have Rachel as a co-wife at that time. Implication being, Avol Meis, if in fact you were to have that Levi had died first. Step one was Levi dying, not step two. And then step two was Yachakach Giresh. Step two was the Gerishin with Rachel, not step one. Now it's step two. We flip around steps one and step two. Then the implication would be it's Asura. Why? Because Amar Rav Ashi, Zosomeris, this teaches us that Yesh Zika Afilu Betrei Achi. Because if step one is Levi dying, so then when the Nachris falls, she could fall to either Reuven or to Shimon. That's a Zika to Shnei Achen. And since the implication was only if Rachel died or was divorced first, step one, then step two, in that situation, eventually the Nachris would be permitted to Shimon because of the principle Zuhi Shamu, Vehulu Shemesu Niskavshut, so we're saying Mutaros, but that's only if we do it in the right order. If Rachel is divorced first and then Levi died, but if Levi died and only subsequently was Rachel divorced, so then this would not be a case where we say Bekula Shemesu Niskarshu. And that's because Rav Ashi says this Nachris falling to Reuven and Shimon has a Zika, and you see this at the bottom, Yesh Zika Afilu Betrei Achi. Even with two, there is going to be a Zika. Now, this negates what we had said at the very top, at the end of the first Mishnah, at the end of the Gemara there, we had said Abba Rav Nachman, Ein Zika, Afilu B'chad. So we seem to have all four of these Mishnahs as the same author. Rav Nachman above says that it's dealing with the opinion of Ein Zika, Afilu B'chad, and Rav Ashi now says that it's dealing with the opinion of Yesh Zika, Afilu B'trei. So we'll have to reconcile Rav Ashi with Rav Nachman's understanding and Rav Nachman with Rav Ashi's understanding. So we start off with, well, Rav Ashi, Kasha, the Rav Nachman. Mishnah Aleph, which we explained, according to Rav Nachman, as being Ein Zika, Afilu B'chad, how do you reconcile that now, Rav Ashi, with your saying that the fourth Mishnah proves Yesh Zika, Afilu B'trei? Seems to be a stira, and it's the same Tana. All four Mishnahs are the same Tana. So Omalach Rav Ashi would respond and say as follows. No. Hu adin, the afa gab de lo obad ba maimar, nochris michletz choltza, yivumi lo miyabma. Go back up to case one, in my diagram, the first row. We had said that in that situation where step two was Maimer and not Ibum, then in that situation, you required Chalitza and not Ibum. And the implication we had said, Rav Nachman said the implication was that if you hadn't done Ibum or Maimer, then in fact, Yibum Nami Meyabba, because Ein Zika. So Rav Ashi would say that's incorrect. He says, Hu Adin, the Afal got the law of Mami, even in the case where there was no Maimer, no, you don't say the implication is that you're allowed to do Yibam in that situation. No, even there, you would not do Yibam. You would still require just Chalitza. Either what's the Chiddush of telling us Maimer? Why even bother telling us Maimer then? No, that's Lafuke Beishamai. That's to get us out from the opinion of Beishamai. The famous opinion of Beishamai. Lafuke mi Beishamai, the Bach says, the Amre, Maimer Kone Kinyon Gomer is returned to Lamed Omid Beis. So to teach us this idea that our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Beis Shammai, and therefore, even without Maimer, you still require Chalitza, because there is Zika, and therefore, once the Zika occurred, so you can't do Yibam. Aye, then why tell me the case of Maimer? If the case without Maimer, oh, that's to remove us from thinking that this could be Beis Shammai, that Kamash Malan, the Loki Beis Shammai, that this isn't Beis Shammai. Oh, that's how Rav Ashi would reinterpret Mishnah Aleph, that it's talking not about a case of Ein Zika Afilu B'chai, it's talking about Yesh Zika, and even if it's Trey. And the reason why it mentions the case of Maimer is to remove us from thinking that it could be Beis Shammai. Oh, so we've resolved how Rav Ashi understands all four Mishnais within the Shita of Yesh Zika. Now we turn the table. Rav Nachman, okay, Rav Nachman, you said that the first Mishnah is talking about Ein Zika Afilu B'chad. How are you going to understand the fourth Mishnah? The whole Chiddush of the fourth Mishnah, the way Rav Ashi understood it, was to teach us Yesh Zika Afilu B'trei. So Rav Nachman, Kasha Rav Ashi, what are you going to do with Rav Ashi's understanding? Are you going to tell me V'chitema, Hu Adin Afilu Meis, V'achakach Girish? You're going to tell me, no, he doesn't differentiate. It doesn't make any difference whether step one was Rachel's Gerishin, step two was Levi's death, or whether it was step one was Levi's death and step two was Rachel's Gerishin. Doesn't make any difference. You can tell me, Chitema, who I did not feel amazing, Achakach Gerish, even if Levi died step one and then the Gerishin took place, nevertheless, Sarasu Muteres, because of Ein Zika, Elo Zuhi, Lemutemai. So then, how do you understand that very last line of the Mishnah that this and only this case, now we seem to have two cases, whether Rachel was divorced first and then Levi died, or whether Levi died and then Rachel was divorced. So why is it only Zuhi, this specific case? According to Rav Ashi, we understand why it's this specific case, but according to Rav Nachman, it's more than one case. So Gemara would say, no. You know what's coming to exclude? Lemute konas v'achar kach gireish. It's coming to exclude the following case. Step one is what we originally had as step two, Levi dies. Step two was what we originally had as step three, that this wife of Levi, the Nachris, undergoes Yibam with Reuven. Now, step three is that he does Gerishin with Rachel. So Rachel is actually married as a co-wife to Reuven when the Nachris is also married to Reuven. So Rachel and the Nachris are coexisting as co-wives for a short period of time. That's the case he's coming to exclude. Lemute konas yachakach gireish. In this situation, if when Reuven dies, now, even though he divorced Rachel, the Nachris was once a co-wife of Reuven, that situation, the Nachris can't undergo Yibam with Shimon, but she would go scot-free. But in the cases that we mentioned, whether Rachel had Gerishin before Levi died, or Levi died and then Rachel had Gerishin, those are the same case, and that is what we say is the exception to the rule. Now the Gemara says this only works out, this understanding that Rav Nachman has, only works out based upon a machlokas that we had previously with one side of the machlokas. There was a machlokas that we had previously between Rav Yirmiya and Rava as to whether there was a contradiction between the original Mishnah on Daf Beis and our Mishnah. And there we had said on Daf Yud Gimel, Ha Nicha, everything fits in well, like Rav Nachman, that Ein Zika Afilu B'chad. That's if you say, Yisav Alok Rav Yirmiya. If he holds like Rav Yirmiya, that the author of the Mishnah on Daf Beis is not the author of our Mishnayis over here. The two Tanoim are different. The Omar, he said, Tavra, Mi Shoshana Zu, whoever taught the Mishnayis on Daf Beis, Lo Shoshana Zu, did not teach the Mishnayis on Daf Lamed. And therefore, V'hai Tana Sovar Misa Ma'peles, V'hai Tana Sovar Nisuin Harishonim Ma'pilim. And that's based upon that there's two different understandings over here as to when the concept of Yibam takes effect. Do we say that the concept of Yibam is involved from the moment that they're married? The Misa isn't what makes it, but the Nisuim Harishonim, that, so to say, sets up whether a woman is capable of having Yibam or not. So our Mishnah over here holds that the original marriage that was Achos Ishto, that messes up Yibam forever. And the Mishnah on that base, that said, Zuhi, this case where you have the Gerishin or the Misa, that they're allowed to go get married, obviously disagrees with that. That Tana holds that Misa Ma'pelis, it's only at the time of the death. We just look at things at the time of the death. We don't look at things before then. So Rav Nachman has to be in accord with Rav Yirmiya that says that the two Tanoim are different Tanoim. The Mishnah on Daf Beis and the Mishnayis on Daf Lamed are authored by two different Tanoim. And therefore, Zuhi Lemute Konas Ulbisov Girish. And therefore, according to Rav Yirmiya, our Mishnah, when it says Zuhi, this case, is coming to exclude Konas, where the Yibam took effect, where step three took effect, Ulbisov Girish, and then step one took effect. again, the way we revised it according to Rav Nachman, but that's not in accord with the Mishnah and Daf Beis. Oh, Tavra, it must be that those two Tanoim are different Tanoim. But if Rav Nachman were to hold like Rava, Elo Iosav our law ki Rava, what did Rava say? The Rava said the Olam Chat Tanahu, that Rava says that there's only one Tana. It's the same Tana that held on Daf Beis holds over here too. And therefore, Vizu Vein Tsarich Lomar Zu Ketani. And therefore, the Mishnah on Daf Beis and our Mishnah over here are in accord with each other. And it's not another case. I didn't even have to tell you this case. It was so clear once I told you the other case. Then, according to this understanding of Rava, then it doesn't make any difference. Then, even when Levi first died, then his wife, the Nachris, fell in Yibin to Reuven, and only then did the Gerushin occur. So then, Zuil Mutimai is not coming to exclude anything. Because in this situation, the Mishnah on that day says, yes, you could go and marry her. Bottom line is, as long as Reuven is not married to her at the time of the death, so then that's fine. So therefore, there's no way that Rav Nachman could be in accord with Rava. He's only in accord with Rav Yirmiyah. And the Gemara says, Taki, you're right. Al kochach, Rav Yirmiyah tzirulei. So yeah, you're 100% right. Rav Nachman holds like Rav Yirmiyah, and he can't be in accord with Rava. No, and by the way, Ula Rava. So Rava, it works out for him. Hanicha yisav alok Ravashi. So then Rava only works with the sheet of Ravashi, that yesh zika afilu betray. And therefore, we understand Zuhi Lamute Meis below Gerish. And that would be coming to exclude the situation where, at the time of the death of Levi, the Gerishin had not yet occurred. So then, in that situation, that is the exception. But if the Gerishin was first, so then this would be the case where, in fact, Yibum could occur. But that only works out according to Ravashi. So Rava has to line up with Ravashi. El Yisav look at Rav Nachman. But if Rava to hold like Rav Nachman, that it's a case of Ein Zika, so then there's no exception. Zuhi Mutemai, what is it coming to exclude? And the Gemara says, Yataka 100% right as well over here. Akocha ki Ravashi Sirulei. Rava must align himself with Ravashi, and Rav Nachman must align himself with Rav Yirmiyah. So they're actually parallel machlokasin, and therefore everything falls into place. Now, I know this was somewhat difficult, and I hope that certainly the basics of the understanding of the four cases were clear, and we understand what Ravashi was saying, what Rav Nachman was saying in the last part, that we have to align Ravashi with Rava, and that we have to align Rav Nachman with Rav Yirmiyah. All was clear. But again, it took up a lot of time, and we go to Gvaiter, and now you can put away the first sheet that I have in the handouts, and you go to the second sheet. Again, it's one handout on the website, but it's two pages. So now take out the sheet that says Daf Lamed and Amud Beis, and we go to the next Mishnah, and we have a separate sheet for that. The Mishnah begins. The Chulon, all of those Chameshes Reinoshim that we mentioned on the very first Mishnah and the Masechta, Shahayu Behen Kiddushin O Gerushin B'Sofek, if they had a relationship that was not a Vaday relationship, it was a Sofek relationship. So let's say in the Achos Ishto case that we're talking about with Reuven and Shimon, we had Reuven only questionably married to Rachel, not fully married to Rachel, or questionably divorced from Rachel, not fully married to Rachel. V'chulon, Shoyu Bahen Kiddushin or Gerushin Misofek, we'll define that in a moment, what the Sofek is, so that in all of these situations, the Tzara, the co-wife, Harei Hatzaros, Choltzos, Velo Misyabos. So then, in this situation, any other co-wives that Reuven had, so the Erva situation with Rachel, is she a full-fledged wife or not, is going to impact on how we view the Nachris, the other second wife of Reuven. And therefore, in all of these situations, we're concerned enough that she, Rachel, was a wife, so therefore, according to Beis Hillel, Tzaras Erva is Pater, according to Beis Shammai, it's not a question. Tzaras Erva is Mutter. But according to Beis Hillel, the Tzaras Erva is Pater, so there is a suffix. Is she, in fact, a Tzaras Erva? Because the Erva, not sure, is a full marriage. Either the Kiddushin or the Gerushin is a suffix. So in these situations, we do not allow Yibam to be performed, because according to Beis Hillel, that would be a Yibam that would be a Isser Erva. But we can't let them go scot-free, Muteris Lashuk, without undergoing Chalitza, because maybe they're not really a Tzaras Erva, and they're Mukhuyavas to undergo Yibam, and they can't go scot-free, Muteris Lashuk, unless they have undergo Chalitza. So, that's the first part of the Mishnah. I don't have anything on my sheets yet, so that my sheets really start with the Gemara. Now, how how do we define this Safek Kiddushin, Safek Gerushin? So the Mishnah says, Ketzat Safek Kiddushin. What's the example of a woman who is unclear that Reuven really married Rachel or not? So this is a classical case, Ketzat Safek Kiddushin, a Zorat Lo Kiddushin, Safek Korov Lo, Safek Korov Lo. This is a classical situation where a woman is receiving Kiddushin, but it's not clear that the Kiddushin went into her possession. So, for example, he tosses her an item that's a shava pruta. It leaves his possession. It doesn't yet enter into her possession, and she is, let's say, 8 amos away from him. So it lands exactly 4 amos away from him and within 4 amos of her. And therefore, it's unclear, did it leave his possession and enter her possession, or did it not leave his possession and enter her possession? If it entered into her possession, so then she's an isha mikudeshes. If it didn't enter into her possession, then she's still a pnuya. So this is Ketzad Safek Kiddushin. Zorach Lo Kiddushin, Safek Korov Lo. Was it still closer to him and she's not Mekudeshes? Or Safek Korov Lo? It's unclear. Was it closer to her and she is Mekudeshes? So in this situation, Zehu Safek Kiddushin. This would be the question of this woman who is the wife of Reuven, or not the wife of Reuven, this Rachel. So it's going to impact on how we view any other co-wives of Reuven. If Rachel is in fact an erva and Reuven dies, would the nachus then fall to Shimon? In our classical case of Reuven and Shimon having two brothers marry two sisters, and Reuven also has another wife, a nachus wife, an unrelated Jewish wife, so then would she in fact be a tsaras erva or not? It all depends. Is Rachel an erva? So then she's a tsaras erva, the nachus. If Rachel's not an erva, so then she's not a tsaras erva, and she would fall in Yibam to Shimon. That's the example of Safek Kiddushin. What about Safek Gerushin? What is that? So here, the Gemara is going to question, why don't we just say, Safek Korov Lo, Safek Korov Lo? Again, when the get is given, so the get is tossed into her domain or not? Did it reach into her domain? Again, the get is tossed 4 amos or not tossed 4 amos, reaching her domain or not? The Mishnah does not give that case. The Gemara will ask, why not? Instead, the Mishnah gives an example of Safek Gerushin, one of several possibilities. Kosav b'chsav yodo, he hand wrote the get, which on a deraisa level is good. They ain't all of edim, there's no edim on it. Midrabban, the rabbi said that's not good. So this is a safek gerushin in terms of that it's on a deraisa level, yes, good, but on a derabban level, it's not good. Yesh lov edim vein bozman, or alternatively, there are witnesses on it, but it doesn't list the time. So on a deraisa level, that's good. Midrabban, they said, because of concerns that this is no good. So again, the same scenario. Likewise, yesh bosman, there is a time on it, vein bo el eidecha, but it only has one witness on it. So technically, you could say that the one who wrote the get, he could function as the other witness, but that would be good d'oraisa. But under rabbanan level, we're concerned that maybe he didn't have intention when he wrote it that it should be done properly lishma, and therefore maybe it isn't a good get. And therefore, on a deraisa level, we would say it's a good get, but on a derabana level, it's not a good get. So all of these are the scenarios that the Mishnah lists as Zehu Safek Gerushin. This scenario where Reuven had fully married Rachel, but now it's a Safek, did he divorce or not? So again, the question will be, is his other wife considered a Tzaras Erva or not a Tzaras Erva if Rachel is the sister of Leah and then Reuven dies and they both fall to Shimon, the brother of Reuven? Having gone through this mission now, we begin the Gemara. And the Gemara starts off and says, V'ilu b'gerushin, in regards to the Gerushin case, we did not give the simple, easy example of Safek Korov Lo, Safek Korov Lo, Lo Ketani. We didn't give that. So why not? My Taima. Why didn't you give that example? So I'm a Rabba. Rabba tells us because Isha Zu, this scenario, and now we can go to my sheet, where we have the Gerushin case. We have the two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, married to the two sisters, Rachel and Leah. In this situation, Vaday marriage. So Rachel was definitely married. And the question is, did she or did she not get a divorce from Reuven? If we had had the case of Safek Korov Lo, Safek Korov Lo, then in this situation, we would have said, Isha Zu, this wife of Reuven, Rachel, definitely, until this questionable divorce, had patered the Nachris, if Reuven were to die, from undergoing Yibam. Because Rachel is definitely Achos Ishto to Shimon. When Reuven dies, she would not fall Yibam to Shimon, and therefore the Tzara of Rachel, this Nachris number one that I put down, so this other wife of Reuven would Vadai be permitted Lashuk. Isha Zu, that's what the word says, Rabba tells us, Becheskes Het Lashuk Obedis. Until now, Reuven is married to Rachel and this Nachris, and therefore they're going to be exempt from Yibam if Reuven were to die. So her status, her chazak, is that she's permissible Lashuk should Reuven die. And now, al Safek, that maybe she's divorced, maybe she's not divorced, umi Safek atabal osra, you want to come and say, well, maybe Rachel's really divorced, and this Nachris does fall to Shimon. al tasrena bisafik. We wouldn't go and restrict her from being muteris lashuk just because of this safek. Her status is chazaka, that she's muteris lashuk, and therefore we wouldn't do anything to change that al safek. That's what Rabbah says. Abaye doesn't like this. Only Abaye says, Ihachi, if what you're saying is correct, then why is this only by the Gerushin side? The Kedushin Nami, Neymar. You should say the same exact thing in regards to Kedushin. Say, Isha Zu Becheskes Hetel Yovim Omedes. If the marriage with Rachel is not there, so then this Nachris, the regular wife of Reuven, if Reuven dies, falls 100% to Shimon. That's a regular case of Yibam, of a brother that died childless, so she falls Yibam. So without Rachel in the picture, the chazaka is that this Nachris would fall in Yibam to Shimon. So, Bikidushin, we would say, Isha zu b'cheskas heter le'yavam omedes. This Nachris, number one, definitely falls to Shimon in Yibam. And now you're going to tell me that maybe Rachel's married, maybe he's not. If Rachel's married, so then the Nachris goes without Yibam. If Rachel's not married, the Nachris still has Yibam. Umisafik, atabola osra, al tasrenu, misafik. So then we would say the same thing. So why are you making a distinction between the Safik Gerushin and the Safik Kedushin in terms of Safik Korv Lo, Safik Korv Lo? The same thing should apply. In both situations, we have a Chazaka, and we wouldn't want to remove it from the Chazaka. So why Rabbah, Abai is asking Rabbah, are you making a distinction that we don't say it by the Gerusha case, but we do say it by the Kedusha case? So the simple answer is, Hasam L'chumrah, because in the case where it's Kedushin, what you're doing is, you're now adding a stringency. The Nachris was permitted and was saying, no, you can't go. And therefore, we're saying it's L'chumrah and don't let the Yibam occur. And this is what I have in the second part of my handout, where I have the question, the Gemara, why not apply the same idea to Kedushin? We have the Kedushin case, as I described it. Reuven is married. Here I call her Nachris number two. And in this situation, she's married to Reuven 100%, and Rachel comes along with this questionable marriage. So until now, the Nachris is definitely going to fall to Shimon. So why would you let a questionable Kedushin change the Chazaka status? And the answer is no, because this is a Chumrah. Without this change of status, she would fall. So we're machmir here not to let the Yibam occur because of this Sofik. And you can give chalitza and not do yibam, so everything is fine. But now the Gemara says, this is a chumrah, and we go to the bottom part of my sheet. First, we'll see this on in the Gemara. Hai chumrah, this chumrah that you're doing over here, the asi l'de kulo, it could lead to a kula. Here's a little bit complicated, so listen carefully. Zibim di azulhu umakadish lo liachosa kidushe vadai. Look at my sheet. What we're talking here about now is that if this safek kedushin with Rachel is to be ignored, so then you know what's going to happen. He's going to say, Reuven, I'm not married to Rachel. Now, in this scenario, Rashi points out Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. There is no Leah in this picture. Rachel is the daughter of Shimon. Very common that a niece would be married to her uncle. So Reuven married Shimon's daughter, Rachel, but it's only a suffix. Did he or did he not marry her? After that, he went and married her sister. Now, this is a maternal sister. It's not a paternal sister. And he married her sister. I call her Chana. And there's no suffix, did he or did he not marry her? He married her. The only question is, if he's already married to her sister, Rachel, then this marriage doesn't get off the ground. There's no question about the actual kedushin that he gave her. The question is, can the kedushin be chal? If he's already married to Rachel, the sister, then the marriage to the other sister, the maternal sister, Chana, doesn't get off the ground. If the marriage to Rachel is not there, so then the marriage to Chana is a vaday 100% marriage. That's the first possibility that the Gemara gives that could lead to a kula, which we'll see in a second. Alternatively, the Gemara says, Binami, this is what I have over here is B, you have Zimnim the Osa Acher, another unrelated person comes into the picture, Umakadish Lola Dida. He marries Rachel. Now, he does a vaday kedushin to Rachel, and this is Mekadish Loli Da, Kiddushi Vadai, but if she's a married woman, it doesn't take effect. So if her Kiddushin to Reuven is in fact good, so Rahul can't accept Kiddushin from this outside guy. If the marriage to Reuven is not good, so then this is a Vadai Kiddushin to this Rachel from this outside person. So these are the two possibilities over here. Now, V'kivan de'osa lor mar litzora le'yavumei. If we go here and say l'chumra, the Sofek Kedushin case, we won't let the Nachris, here I'm calling her Nachris number two, go and fall in Yibam to Shimon because maybe she's Tzoras Rachel. So then, if we don't allow Yibam and you just require Chalitza in this situation, so then you know what people are going to say? V'kivan de'osa lor mar litzora le'yavumei. So you know what people are going to say, Amri? Everybody's going to say, you know what? This relationship that he had with Rachel, Reuven had with Rachel, the Kama Kedushin, it was a Vade Kedushin, and that's why we didn't allow Yibam to occur with the Nachris. and Udabasra. Therefore, the other marriage that Reuven had with either the sister Chana or that the other person had with Rachel, this person from the outside that had with Rachel, Udabasra, Lav Kedushin, is not Kedushin. And we're going to let those people go out without a get, when in fact they might be married. So this is a chumrah, if you take it, that we don't allow the Nachris number two to have Yibam with Shimon, and only allow Chalitza, it's going to lead to a cooler. People are going to say, oh, this was a real case of Tzaris Erva, and the marriage to Chana from Reuven never took effect, or the marriage from the Acher to Rachel never took effect. And in fact, she's an Eish Ish. So therefore, this is a chumrah that could lead to a kula, and that's why we didn't allow it. And that's why Rabbi explains, we gave different examples of the Safek Gerushin case and the Safek Kedushin case. Gemara says, no, kivan dekom mitzraches chalitza, we turned to Lamed Aleph from Lamed Aleph. Since we went and required chalitza, people will know. If it was really a Tzaris Erva case, they wouldn't need anything. Nei deyadei dechumrah bi'almah. Everybody would have said that this is a chumrah bi'almah, and therefore, we don't have to be concerned about this. Now we're going to stop over here. This is a good break point, albeit we're still in the middle of the sugya. And with this, we conclude a very complicated shiur today. I hope it was clear. I hope people enjoy and benefit from the handouts. Have a wonderful day.